Amen. Well, have a seat. It's good to see you guys. Well, if you guys haven't been here before, this is our Sunday evening service. It's cozy, intimate, but, you know, it's fun. We go through the Word together. We have a good time, get some coffee, some good worship, and there's going to be more worship after this. Pastor Anson will do 3 or 4 more songs after the message. And what we're going to be doing on the upcoming Sunday nights is going through the red letter sayings of Jesus that we're going to be doing on Sunday morning. So it'll be fun. I'll have a different take. Pastor Dave will have one message Sunday morning, and I'll have a different message Sunday night on the same text, but it'll be good. I encourage you to come because you'll really get to know the Word. You'll really get to know what Jesus said, and we're excited. Everyone here at Pacific Hills, even the youth group, is going through the red letters of Jesus, so it's going to be a great, you know, upcoming year. But tonight, I want to turn our eyes, because it's New Year's Eve, just a few more evenings. What is it, tomorrow night? Tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. And I went through, and like many people do, I looked at some of the top New Year's resolutions this year. And if you were to guess what the number one resolution would be, what do you think it would be? Anybody? Lose weight. Flat out, because I thought that's what mine would be. And I looked, and I think something like over 50% of people that make New Year's resolutions is to lose weight. Number two is getting organized. I thought that was a weird one, but a lot of people, you know, as frantic as we are, as many things as we do, is getting organized seems to be a big one. Number three, spend less and save more. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. Staying fit and healthy was number 5. Learn something exciting was number 6. Quit smoking, number 7. Help others in their dreams, number 8. Fall in love was number 9. Hate to meet that person. They're like on a mission. They're like, this year I'm going to fall in love. It's like, that was my resolution. Number 10 was spend more time with family. Those are all good things. The interesting thing, though, is only about 8% of the people that set out to do those ever even fulfill one of those 10 things. A lot of good things, and the researchers here over at, I think it was at Penn State, that they or University of Scranton, that did this research and this study said time and time again, it's the same number one on the list, lose weight. It's the same number two, at least in the last 10 years, get more organized, organize my time better. Number 3, spend more time with my family. All the same things pop up year after year after year. And I was thinking about it. It's kind of like the new year, when people make all these resolutions, tends to end up into the same old thing. Same old resolutions, same old goals for this year, same old number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the list. Everybody knows they're good. Everybody wants to do them, but they just fall away as the year goes by, as time slips by, and they lose motivation. Other people get off track. So only about 8% of people out there keep their New Year's resolutions. And tonight we're going to read about, you know, not a New Year's resolution, but something new that the Bible tells us we're to have. So turn with me in Psalm 98. And as we look at the new year, at least as I do, I hope you guys can take this idea, this thought with you, because it's a powerful one. It's mentioned at least, I think, 6 or 7 different psalms have this key verse in it. Psalm 98, it's not recorded exactly who wrote this, though most people think it's David who wrote this. Most scholars kind of agree David probably wrote this, and it's a slightly what we would call a messianic psalm. Messianic means it's a portion of Scripture that looks forward from the time it was written to the ultimate coming of the Messiah. That's where this psalm is ultimately fulfilled, and you'll see why. But I want to look at the first 2 verses real quick, or at least the first verse, actually. The psalmist begins by saying, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory." Actually, follow down with me. "The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." And he says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord of all the earth. Break forth into song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity. The psalmist begins by saying, it's like a declaration, sing to the Lord a new song. I like that. I like that. You see, Israelites, songs in our day, they're kind of boring, at least I think. You ever heard that, you know, that saying, it's the same old song? It's kind of the saying we use when a song just, you know, it gets stuck in your head, or something in life just keeps repeating, and you go, it's the same old song, you know? You ever have that where you just love the song, and you played it on repeat, and then a week later, you're just like, I hate that song. It's the same old song. It's the same old song. Researchers have found it early in July. They did a Discovery Channel and Discovery Magazine did a study, and they compared music over the past 40 years. And they found, as far as pitch and variation and all that goes, almost all music that we have released nowadays is the same. The popular music has become louder, but more homogenous or repetitive of itself. It's because people have figured out how to make money off of music, and they write the same type of song, the same catchy hook, the same lyrics, and it slightly varies in pitch and in noise, but really, when you take a song from the 60s nowadays and you just tweak a few things, it's the same song. And what the psalmist here is saying is, look, it's time for you to sing a new song. That's big. Israelites, back in this time, songs to them weren't as we would call it, maybe casual, you know. They didn't sing a song about their favorite car or about their girlfriend or boyfriend breaking up with them. Their songs in those days weren't as, you know, we would call pop culture, kind of as some of our songs are. Their songs in the Bible, you can turn to like Exodus chapter 15 when Moses cross through the Red Sea, and on the other side, you hear this amazing song, we're told, that Moses composed of deliverance, where he just, as this major event happened, where God showed up and saved them, Moses stepped out and he goes, oh, praise the Lord, he is my strength. You remember in the book of Judges, remember Deborah, the first female judge? When she took out Sisera, when her and Barak took on the army, they went to war, and finally Sisera was slain by, I think it was Jael's wife who drove a spike through Sisera, their enemy king's head. I think the king of Agag. And Sisera's head was just done through. And then Deborah, in a just giant moment of praise and victory in front of the whole nation, begins to sing this song of God's deliverance. You remember David, when he brought the ark back into Israel, he danced before the Lord, and we're told he sang a song, joyful songs. The whole book of Psalms is actually songs. It's a song, a psaltery book composed of different songs and poems that the Israelites, that they composed to express themselves before the Lord over different events, over different feelings and emotions David would have towards the Lord. But what their songs were to them, and what the psalmist is saying here, is it's time to sing a new song. It's time to start singing about something new that God's doing in your life. These songs in the Bible are all about how God was working in their lives, how God showed up to deliver them, how God had done amazing things in their lives. And so now what they would understand, we kind of hear it, and oh, a new song, okay, cool. I'm going to write a poppy tune about this. But no, what they're saying, what the psalmist is trying to get out here is, hey, look it, it's time to sing a new song. What has God done in your life that's new? Because he tags on, for he has done marvelous things. The idea is that God is always doing amazing things around us. He's always giving us a reason to sing or express ourselves to him. But the question is have we been noticing? Have we been allowing him to work in our lives? And so my emphasis to you guys, the main point tonight is that we, as the psalmist says, as we look at this new year, it's about having a new song. The question you have to ask is, well, how do I find that song? What does that mean? If the psalmist declares to everyone who reads this, sing a new song, what does that mean? I mean, if you're like me, you're a horrible singer. It's no good to God if you sing out to him. I can't play any instruments. Well, first of all, he gives us some help. I love what he does in the first part, verses 2 and 3, actually part of verse 1. But here's what he starts out saying. If you're like me and you want this new year to be something new, you want to have a new voice, you want to be able to realize what God is doing in your life, he goes, here's the biggest thing you have to know. Verse 1 at the end, it says, his right hand and his holy arm have gained him, God, the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he's revealed in the sight of the nations. He's remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He kind of goes like this. He goes, most of the amazing songs of the Bible, Moses, when he stepped out at the edge of the Red Sea after the Pharaoh and all the chariots had been swallowed up by the sea, you know what Moses declared? God has brought us victory. Deborah, as I brought up, you know what she declared? God has brought us victory over this nation that was pursuing us. You remember Samuel's mother, Hannah, there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, when she was barren and she went before the temple and the priest heard her and said, hey, go home. You're going to have a child. And she got so overjoyed, so overcome with emotion, she declared, and if you go through and you read her prayer and her song, she declared, God has brought me victory. All the great songs in the Bible look back and reflect on God's victory for them. And the psalmist here says, in a way that's almost prophetic, he's looking forward to God's ultimate victory where he brings salvation to all the ends of the earth. He says, you've got to understand that God is working in your life ultimately through the cross of Jesus Christ where the greatest victory was won. And the first point and the first area we can go to have a new song, this new view in life, this new ability to sing something new, to not get stuck in the same rut, is to realize that God has brought us a Savior. Someone who in the darkest of times stands with us, who we know is Jesus Christ. Who overcame our greatest enemy, our sin and death. And what he's saying here is, look, you want to have a new song? You want something to praise about? You want something to sing about? Start with the fact that God has overcome amazing things in your life. I used to have this friend that he always annoyed me because at a certain point he started annoying me. He always asked this question. It's such a good question. We'd always be in a group, and when I was a young Christian, we'd always have this big group of people, and he would always ask everyone in the group, hey, what is God doing in your life right now? And like, as a new young Christian, I was like, oh yeah, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that, amazing things. As I started growing, as other people in the group had been walking with the Lord for years, you know, I noticed this tendency for other people. They would get really bugged when he asked them that question. I didn't get bugged at him because I was a young Christian, but they would get bugged because he would go, hey, what's God doing in your life? What new things, what amazing things, what wonderful things is God doing in your life? And they'd be like, well, I don't know. You see, they'd gotten into that same rut. The same old song for them. Every day was the same. They hadn't really thought about what areas was God working in and helping them to overcome in their life. What areas was God taking victory in, as the psalmist declares him here? This is what he's done all throughout the Bible. He's come to bat for those that believe in him, that trust in him, and he's given them victory. And the psalmist says, you got to know where God is working in your life. What areas in your life is God giving you victory in? What areas is God working in that you know he's going to bring you victory in? The first thing you do is you start out and you go, hey, God is a Savior. He's given us Jesus Christ, the ultimate victory, the one who died for our sins and rose again. And he's still working in our lives every day through Jesus Christ who lives in us. And I love what he says next. He goes in verses 4 through 6. He begins to talk about what I'm not very good at doing. He goes, "Shout joyfully to the Lord of all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With a harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King." The second thing he says, first thing he goes, recognize that God is a Savior, and God is always working in your life. He's showing off his work to all the ends of the earth. Second thing he says is, express it. This is kind of where we're not good at it. We're good at, like, maybe thinking about some things, but we're not good at getting it out and expressing it. Here he says, shout, sing, play, get loud. It's like, I read this and I go, oh man, like I said, I can't sing. I'm like the handicapped guy in the front. I can't clap. You know, whenever we have a song in church and it requires clapping and singing, can't do it. I can do one or the other, so I clap. Or I sing and I put my hands behind my back because I just keep myself from clapping because I can't do the, I'm so uncoordinated. Out of the four, I have three younger brothers. Out of the four of us, two of them are amazing musicians. The other two of us, we can't even hear good music. We're like, we're handicapped. So does that mean I can't express myself to the Lord like this psalm says? I can't be obedient to the psalm? No. What it really means is that he's saying, you need to express. You need to let it come out. We kind of live in this reserve type of society that, you know, it's okay if you express yourself for your favorite football team or your favorite soccer team or your favorite baseball team. I mean, it's okay if you wear the gear for, you know, whatever. But I mean, it's awkward if you express yourself at Starbucks about how much you love the Lord. I mean, and it shouldn't be that way. The joy that we have here, the expression that he's talking about, is something that doesn't have to just come from singing. It's supposed to just come from whatever it is in our life that God has gifted us in. Whatever it is, whether you're a conversationalist and you're just so great at talking with people, express your love through the Lord as you talk to people. Whether you're a, you know, even if you're in sports, express what God has given you, the gifts that God has given you, to the greatest, as he would say. Maybe you're good at, I don't know, entertaining others. You have just a really hospitable personality. Express your praise, your appreciation for the Lord through that. Maybe you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know what it is. I don't know how I can express myself. Spend some time this week. Learn what God has gifted you with. God doesn't require we all be amazing musicians, but what he does require is what he's given to us, we be faithful to him. We express it back to him. I'm not an amazing, you know, singer, but what I can do is I love to read the Bible and to share it with you guys and to hopefully pass on that passion. And to be loud about it and to not be timid and shy, you know, because I want to express all that God has done for me, all the victory that God has given for me, and all the truth that's in this word. Some of you, you've got a year ahead of you where you can go, how am I going to express myself in a new way? How am I going to step out of what I normally do, that same old song that I'm stuck in? And how am I going to do something that, wow, is going to be great, is a new song in my life, is something fresh, is something new? I don't know what it is for you, but the Lord has something that he wants you to express in you. And I would suggest this year, instead of looking small and saying, hey, I just want to lose weight, okay, that's a great goal. I want to lose weight so that I can preach better, or I can do this better. Plug whatever you want, whatever goals you are, into serving the Lord, into expressing yourself from the Lord. Hey, I want to go to college. I want to go to college so I can get a job that you know, I can support my local church. I can be a member of the community of the church of Christ. You know, plug it into the Lord. Don't just stop at going, hey, I want to lose weight. I want to go to college. That's the same old thing. What the psalmist says here is, hey, get bigger. Dream bigger. Go louder. Express yourself this year. Think of your goal that you could do that you would never have. I'll let you know, one of my prayers, and this is kind of embarrassing, but, it's not embarrassing, I think it's cool. One of the prayers, and I just decided when I went into ministry about full-time, about a year and a half ago, I decided I was going to pray for one outrageous thing. And that's going to be my prayer every year, as long as I'm in ministry, and it's that I will get to share the gospel with the entire United States. I don't know how that'll turn out. Sounds crazy, but that's the type of thing he's saying, get loud. Break out of that same old routine and song you're stuck in. And he's like, this is like the crazy funky band that he's stirring up here. He's like, do something new. Don't dream the same little thing year after year. If you're going to dream something, plug it into something bigger. Reflect on what God's done for you, all the areas of victory he's given his people, all the miraculous things he's done, and ultimately the salvation he's brought you in Jesus Christ. And now, as you look forward, as you express that, do something big. I like that. And finally, at the end, he says, let the seas roar in all its fullness. The world and those who dwell in it, the rivers clap their hands, the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth. With righteousness, he'll judge the world and people, all peoples, with equity. Sorry, not with iniquity. He ends by just saying, look at all of creation around you. It praises God. I mean, ultimately in Revelation, we see that the saints are there crying, holy, holy, holy before the Lord. Everybody's just falling down in worship. It's what we're going to be doing throughout eternity. All creation here. I love what John Calvin said this. He says, there's not one blade of grass. There's no color in this world that is not intended to make us rejoice and praise God. He's saying everything around you is there. The seas ultimately as they roar. The rivers as they clap. It's all there as you reflect in God's creation to praise God. To make a song, if you would, to God. And the idea is if you go to creation, if you spend some time, and you guys probably know this, if you're feeling down, you're feeling out, you ever been to the beach and just sat there and just felt so refreshed? Or you ever been somewhere amazing like the Grand Canyon and just looked out and seen something so vast? Or just spend a day on the lake in God's creation and just been like, ah. Where you get renewed as you just look at what God's done. You get inspired as you look at botany around you, as you look at creation. Think of Jesus. Multiple times we were told he got away apart, alone in creation, sometimes to a high mountain. Often we're told he went to that garden at Gethsemane and he got into creation and he prayed. He was inspired as he went there. He was talking to the Lord in creation. It's like all around us, God's given us this different area. We live in a amazing place. In an hour, you can get to the mountains. In an hour, or well, 15 minutes, you can be at the beach. I mean, there's all this opportunity for us to just go grab your Bible. You want to sing a new song this next year? You want to feel God rejuvenate you? You want to get away in his creation? It's just right at our door. But you got to take the time to step out. And all that is pointing and directing to the Lord. And it's inspiring us, as I reflect on this, it's inspiring us to sing a new song. So I encourage you guys tonight, as we close, to just, as you think of 2013, as you think of those things that you want to do, there's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight, wanting to spend more time with your family. Absolutely nothing wrong with those. But I say go bigger. I say plug them into something bigger. I say dream, sing a new song. Don't just sing the same old things. Don't just drag through the same routines. Break the pattern, break the molds, and dream of something bigger this year. Sing a new song, as he says. for he has done marvelous things. So for some of us, that might mean, hey, I love to cook. I'm going to cook for someone I've never cooked for before. I'm going to cook and bring some homeless people amazing meals, absolutely amazing meals, the best they've ever had. Or, you know, I love I've got a buddy, he's, you know, Lee here. He loves to just, he makes jewelry, he loves bracelets, and he's making custom ones for people, and man, he totally blessed me. He just went out of his way, and he goes, hey, man, I made you a special one. Not because you're the pastor, and I want you to wear it up there, not because I want you to show it off in front of people. And he's like, just because I wanted to bless you. I was like, wow, that was something new, unexpected, out of the way. But what has God put in your hands? How can you plug it into his kingdom? How can you not just take it? All the New Year's resolutions are me, 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 me. But what the psalmist is saying, it's time to sing. It's time to declare back to God something that he's given you. And each of us express it and praise him in our own ways. And so I'd encourage you, take some time as we close in song tonight to think of some new ways, some special things that you can do this year to express yourself to God who's saved you, who's brought you near through the blood of Jesus Christ, who's instead of treated you like an outcast, like you deserve to be treated, has brought you close and treated you like a son and a daughter, who loves you so much that he would die for you. His salvation for you is inspiration for a new song. And his creation all around you is inspiration. And so express it in a new way. Some of you guys are singers. Some of you guys play amazing music. Other of you guys, you know, you're like me. You love the word. Share it with someone in ways you never have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God of new things, Lord. Lord, that in Jesus Christ we're all new creations, and every day is like a new year. Every day is a fresh start, something new with you, Lord. And as we start this new year, as we, each one of us, enter into 2013, Lord, if you tarry just a little bit longer, we want to just express ourselves and praise you in ways we haven't before. We want to sing a new song, Lord. Some of us are stuck in the same old ruts, possibly dealing with the same old things we've wrestled with for years. Lord, we want to look past those things and set our eyes on you this year. Look forward to the amazing things you're going to do in our life. And Lord, just express ourselves to you in each of the ways you've gifted each one of us with. And Lord, just sing a new song this year. So we thank you for your word and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.